WGXC 90.7 FM. So joining us now, and I'm going to do this. I said I was going to do it last week, so you bear with me and you tell me if I'm wrong. I decided that I was going to call you by a name that's not your name. Your name is Steve Dunn, and I know that.
Right.
But I decided that I was going to call you Sam Dunn. And the reason why I decided to call you Sam Dunn is because whenever it is an election, you could pretty much call one of these politicians any damn name you want to, and they will answer to it as long as they get your vote. Yeah. So now I want to see if you're that kind of guy. So with us right now, and Stan, you're running for Common Council President, right?
Yes. Correct.
Right. And you're okay with me calling you Stan?
Stan or Sam?
I'll call you, yeah, both of them.
Whatever you want.
No. Oh, man.
Takes hand for 200.
Steve, how's it going, man?
It's going well. I'm really enjoying the campaign.
Okay.
And just like Mike O'Hara, I really enjoyed going door to door and meeting people.
You came to my door.
Came to your door.
Yeah.
And I'm learning a lot.
Okay.
I'm learning about issues that I was unaware of. And
okay.
Ideas. Good ideas. For example, one elderly lady said, I have a walker and so forth, although I still drive, and I pay to have the snow cleared in front of my home, and then somebody else takes my parking space.
Mm-mm.
Why can't we reserve that space, if you're handicapped, for the handicapped person that lives in the house behind it?
Mm-hmm.
That strikes me as a good idea. And a reasonable idea.
Okay.
So that's one thing I learned. Another thing.
Well, hold on, Steve. Hold on, Steve.
Okay.
Now listen. Now we got different rules around here. Like I told Mike,
okay.
And Mike was a good candidate.
All
but
right.
I'm gonna run the interview. I'm not gonna let you run the interview. I got to do
right.
it. Okay.
Yes.
Now, can you do me a favor, please? And the reason why is because we have a different set of listeners, and I have some questions for you. So, can you do me a favor and explain to the listeners what the council president does? That is very important. That is the position that you're running for. Let our listeners know what your duties will be.
Okay. The Common Council President is actually a very important office.
Okay.
Everybody knows that the Common Council President
Mm-mm.
presides over the meetings.
Not everybody.
Because I'm a little political illiterate. I was about to ask, what is that?
Not everybody, Steve. Come
all
on,
right.
Back, Steve. Work
okay.
with us now.
All hey, right.
Hold on. You want to take
best.
A time out and talk to Mike? Mike Mike knows.
You got to crawl right, before
come on,
you
Steve,
walk.
You got it. Come
all
on.
Right. Well, let's start from scratch here.
All right.
Yes.
So one thing the Common Council President does is preside over the meetings and set the agenda and run the meetings.
Right.
That's one thing the Common Council President does. The Common Council President also appoints the members of the council to the various committees.
Okay.
And appoint who chairs those committees.
Okay.
And the Common Council President also has the power to appoint to those committees on a subcommittee basis people who are not members of the council to assist in those committees' work.
Okay.
And I think that's something that has not been done in the past that should be done in the future to bring in more people with expertise in various areas to assist in the workload, because the city has limited staff, and so the more people we can have pitch in
mm-hmm.
to help things get things done, the better.
So, Steve, I want to ask you.
And then there's one other thing.
Okay. Go ahead.
And that is the Common Council President, along with the mayor and the treasurer.
I was going to say, because Mike already told us, so you better give it up. Come on.
So that's the third thing that the Common Council President does. And
okay.
I couldn't agree with Mike more that we need to open up the budget process. I've always been bothered by that.
Okay.
That the budget surfaces 2 weeks before it needs to be enacted. And folks don't really know what's in it, and they might change a few thousand dollars, cutting it. They can't increase the budget. And then it floats through.
Okay. Hold on. We're going to stop there. We're going to
okay.
stop there. Nope. I don't want you to run away from me. Now,
right.
Tell me how long you've been in politics. And I want to know, have you held any other office, and why you chose Common Council President to run for you know, is this a stepping ladder? Like, were you alderman? Were you something else and you went there? Or why did you just go right to Common Council?
Well, my political resume does not match Michael's. I spent most of my career in Los Angeles, which is a very big city and more difficult to get involved in.
Okay.
As a young person, I actually was involved in Robert Kennedy's campaign.
Okay.
Back in 1968.
Because we got a couple celebrities in here.
One was with Martin Luther King. The other one.
I'm going to give you a clap just for a name drop. Mike dropped Martin Luther.
Yeah, that was serious alone right there.
Well, see, I knew he meant that, but I just wanted to. Because he said so, Martin, I was like, listen.
Because somebody out there probably really thought you was on a comedy show with Martin Lawrence or something. So
like, hold on, Steve. Hold on. You deserve a clap. Name drop. That was a good name drop right there. I'm going to give you a clap. Sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to give you a clap. Go ahead.
But most of my life, I've been involved with my career as an attorney and running a business. And I have a master's in business administration. Okay. And I really got involved in the community by coming to Hudson. Because as a small town, things are much more accessible. And I saw that there were things that could be done where I could be of assistance as a retired lawyer and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so on various issues, I've tried to pitch in, writing legislation, rewriting legislation, so forth. So that's what I've been doing.
Okay. I'm going to give you a chance to talk about this, Steve. I know you want to talk about it. I can feel it in my skin. I'm only going to give you 2 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
But I want you to talk about your input or your how much you partook in the weighted vote and all that. I know that's one of your little baby childs, right?
Well,
that's what you told me when you came to my house. That's why I signed that thing. So if you didn't, if that's not true.
No, I did have something to do with that initiative.
But I remember, listen to me, and I want you to look me in my face. Yes. I remember when you came to my house and you were asking me about that weighted vote thing. And I said, are you trying to run for office because of this? And you told me no. So, and I understand that. Your mind can change. I just want to know what changed your mind. And I'm not faulting you for changing your mind, because if I would have came up with a good idea like that, I would have ran too. But I just want to know what changed your mind, because we actually talked about this.
Well, it may have been in the context of whether or not I would run in.
Don't make me dizzy. Don't make me dizzy.
I was accused in a couple of quarters of drawing the map. I did the legal work for that initiative, including creating a draft map, which the Fair and Equal team agreed to, of drawing the map to move my residents from the 2nd to the 4th Ward. And I didn't want that to be an issue, so I made a commitment that I would not run for office in the 4th Ward. So that's what I said. I certainly hadn't decided at that point to run for Common Council president, but as things evolved, I decided that I thought I had something to contribute, and it'd be healthy to have a campaign and to get some ideas out. And then win or lose, the community would be exposed to more ideas, and hopefully my opponent would take ownership of some of them. So I thought win or lose, either way, it would be good for the community for me to run.
I got to give you a clap. Know why? Because you were honest, and that's all I ask. The one thing that we, myself, and a lot of people have is when politicians are confronted, they try to make you dizzy. That's why I said, don't make me dizzy. Just tell me the truth. You told the truth. I appreciate that. Nothing wrong with what you did, but I appreciate the fact that you gave my listeners the truth, and I got to give you a clap for that.
Thank you. Deserve it. Thank you.
I got one more question for you, and then I'm going to have a question for you and Mike also. And the question that I have for you is similar to the one that I asked Mike, because as Common Council President, you will be in control of these meetings, as you just told us. What are you going to do different so that these meetings aren't out of control? And listen, this is not my opinion. Like I said, and I'll repeat it 100 times, they put these meetings on YouTube. Like, people can see these meetings. And the things that go on there are, they're embarrassing. And these are the elected officials. And guess what? And the only way that we can deal with this is we has to deal with it in an election year, because no one else is going to listen then. So if you are elected Common Council President, Mike had a great suggestion. I hope you was listening. You asked to come in. I remember it. I hope you do. What would you do to make sure that we clean up just the disrespect, the bullying, you know, the downright, I don't give a you know what, so that the meetings are ran with some kind of respect? Like, when the kids come in, you know, I could have swore. Actually, I know for a fact they have a high school class that comes in to those meetings, because I remember one of the girls came on our show to talk about the disrespect that was going on at those meetings and how she was there and she was just flabbergasted.
Well, I was in attendance at most of those meetings.
Talk about it then.
And it's not only disrespect between some of the members of the council, it's also disrespect of members of the audience.
Customer's always right. The customer's always right.
That's right. And they were silenced or abused, and that's awful. And you're right. It
made
the city look terrible, and it was a horrible example for our youth and an embarrassment.
Okay. What are you going to do to change it?
Well, Mike already made some good suggestions.
He sure did.
And Mike and I have talked about it and try to get the council to take ownership of some rules. If I'm the Common Council President and I start seeing that abuse, I'll hit the gavel and put a stop to it. And if it still persists after I do that, one thing the Common Council President has the power to do is call a recess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll call a recess, and there'll be a pause in the proceedings, and I'll tell the disruptors, if you can't behave yourself, don't come back. And if it keeps going on after that, I'll arrange with the assent of the Common Council to have somebody there to escort the problem out. But I like to believe that with the new council and the new members on it, that we won't have these problems.
But if we do, I'm more than welcome to have you and come and see you. If you do win, I said the same thing to Tom. That's why I'm giving you both the same amount of time. I'm more than welcome to come see you and say, hey, wait a minute. You told me that you're going to do your best to stop this, and it's still going on.
I promise you I will.
Okay. All right.
From my heart.
I
hated it every bit as much as you do. I hate bullies, and I hate people using their so-called intelligence or education mm-hmm. to put down people that are not as equipped to defend themselves. It's truly awful. You it's help awful. Empower people. You don't abuse them and disempower them.
It is really bad. All right, so I want to move on. And the one thing that I want to talk to you both about, and Mike, I don't know if you have, I know you have some information on it, because you're just so equipped to have information on a lot of stuff. But I know you sit on the Arts and Entertainment and Tourism Committee, right?
That's correct.
Would you have anything to do with the DRI?
I was involved in the initial discussion of the DRI. I was in a couple of meetings about it that we had in that committee, as well as some other opportunities. So I know something about it.
Okay. And Steve, I'm sure you're aware of the DRI, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so one of the questions that I have, and I was reading through, and it looks like there were some changes made, and you guys both kind of touched on when we talked about the budgets, and sometimes there's changes made, and you don't know it until it's there. Mm. Well, it looks like there were some changes made in the DRI that the public wasn't aware of. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, I know the people who were involved in the final workup to the proposal, and they were operating in a very limited time span for a very complicated job. And I saw the initial draft of the document, but I didn't expect to be kept up to date with every change. And now that it's in, the document that was proposed is essentially a sketch.
Okay.
And the coloring in of the spaces between the lines is going to start very soon, which will take a year to actually flesh this thing out, and make it a real solid work of art rather than just a pencil sketch. But that's really what got us the money, is the pencil sketch. And the boundaries can be adjusted, the actual programs or the actual projects can be adjusted. All of that is still adjustable within the boundaries of the law that created that program.
Okay.
So it's not done. And I'm not upset that the sketch that went in is not the same sketch that I saw 3 weeks before then.
Okay. I want you guys to hold on. We have a caller that always calls in around this time. He listens to the show, so I think this might be him. Caller, you're on the air?
Yeah, Big Burn, this is Quinn.
Quinn, hold on 1 second. Let me give you the clap, buddy. Quinn, you know the rules, Quinn. You got 3 minutes, Quinn. Talk about it.
I got three this week, huh?
Yeah, three this week.
Okay. Big Vern, it's very interesting what they're saying, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't heard nothing about affordable housing, crime, and the infrastructure.
Okay.
The youth is great. J-Mac knocked out of the park. You knocked out a plug with Mike on your situation. And the thing is, Mike was saying XYZ, the problem is to be A through Z.
Okay. I like your opinion.
And the thing is, too, now, depends on what war it is, they should go down and talk to these people door to door. Don't walk the walk and don't do the talk, okay?
Okay.
That's what I'm missing right here. Like, other night, there was a shooting in Hudson again.
Okay.
And that one came today. I think that should be addressed big time.
Okay, quick.
You know, you did good, Big Vern.
All right.
And J-Mike, tell her she did really good.
Okay.
And Slay, I got here late today. Tell him I said hi and hello.
I sure will.
I think I missed Tom, but the thing is, affordable housing and crime and the infrastructure, you should hit on that, okay?
Okay, Quinn.
Okay, thanks, Big Vern.
All right. You didn't say Quinn out. All right. No, listen, and let me give Quinn a clap, because I am not a politician, but I would be a fool and a hypocrite if I didn't sit here and listen to him as I asked Mike to do to the people in his constituents. And I will address a couple things. The reason why I did not ask you guys yet about affordable housing, which I did plan to, but the reason why I didn't ask you guys about crime, one, is because you guys are not the mayor. You guys can only do what you can do. And I wanted to kind of stick to the things that I thought you guys would be able to give us more information about. So it was more of me not asking about crime than you guys not willing to talk about it. So I will take that on my hands. These guys did not say anything that they didn't want to talk about it. They have been very cooperative, but I chose not to talk about it.
I'd just like to interject. I really agreed what J-Mac said
mm-hmm.
about crime and youth programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, more than any other reason, they need to be a top priority to help steer our youth into a more positive direction, particularly at-risk youth.
Yeah.
And that's one way the council and so forth can have a positive impact. So I want to give my own clap to J-Mac.
Oh, you go, oh,
marvelous.
Wait. Because he didn't even get elected, he handed out clap. Right. Steve, I like because you're bold. I'll give J-Mac a clap.
All right, thank you.
No, she deserves it. But what I wanted to do after I talked about the DRI, because I understand the DRI, I understand exactly what they're trying to do. I know that it's not all written. There's going to be some movement around. My thing is, I would like to see the same type of energy in the same type of focus on working on affordable housing. You understand? Because my understanding of the DRI is it's for tourism. It's going to fix up everything around Hudson to make it look really good so we can have more people come in and antique and do whatever they do over there on the other side of town. My concern, and Mike, you could correct me because I'm telling you, this is, and like you guys heard, they will be having a meeting. Steve, you both get a chance to chop at it. But like you heard earlier, they will have a meeting down at Promise Neighborhood. They will be talking about that. Kamal Johnson is down there talking about that at 6 o'clock. But we have Mike here. We have Steve here. So that is my understanding. But I just want that same energy about affordable housing because for some reason, I just feel affordable housing won't work unless you can find someone like a Galvin that's willing to do it, because the city doesn't seem like they have the city, and I could be wrong. You guys got to correct me. The city doesn't seem like they have enough money to send our kids to Zoom Flume. So, well, so the money is tight. So, when you go to budgeting the money, how are they going to do affordable housing?
Well, there is things that we can do.
Okay,
and in conjunction with Mike, we've actually been writing legislation about it. And one thing we can do is encourage the construction of more apartments above garages along the alleys, which would be affordable because of the type of apartments they would be. Now, they wouldn't be suitable for families, but they would be good for, you know, couples or single people. Well, so that's one thing.
That's one thing. Well, one thing is better than none.
On the DRI, and I call these urban legends. Urban legends are stuff that people say is true, and it turns out it's not true.
Well, why can't it be suburban legends? Because it's not. Why has it got to be urban?
Well,
see, you didn't because you didn't watch with Martin. See, Mike would never say urban legend. Mike knows better.
All
suburban.
All right. Whatever.
How
you
about
want.
Legend?
A legend.
All right.
All
thank you.
Legend.
I'm just false legend. I'm just making people
one
see your personality.
One of them is that under the DRI, you can include affordable housing.
No, we know
wrong.
That. Whoa. See, Steve, here's the thing, Steve. The listeners out here don't want to hear wrong. They understand that. The listeners want to hear, listen, we can't do that, but we can do this. Well, that wrong was pretty loud.
Under the DRI rules, you can have affordable housing. That's one of the items.
So that's wrong? Like I'm wrong?
We can have
wait
affordable
housing. Wait a minute, Steve.
Housing.
Wait, hold on. Now, this is a big time for you.
Yes.
Wrong? Like I'm wrong?
Well, I don't.
Say yes, damn it.
Well, I don't recall you said we can't have affordable housing under the DRI.
Well, so I'm giving you the clap because whenever you prove me wrong, that's big right, business.
Okay.
Now, hold on. I want to make sure everybody hear this because there's some hope in the sky, cuz. All right, Steve, be careful. Wait. Let me explain something.
Yes.
One, you proved me wrong. That don't happen a lot. Two, what you're about to say will be repeated like an urban legend. So don't mess it up.
All right.
Go ahead.
Another item, there's others, but the other one that I think is really important is to curb the spread of Airbnbs.
No. Go back to the affordable housing.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
I'm talking about that.
All right, you lost me with the Airbnbs.
Well, when Airbnbs are, when an affordable unit is no longer used for housing, it's used for tourists, not only would the riverfront become a tourist zone along with Orange Street, but ultimately the whole city would be a tourist zone.
Oh, okay.
I live on Robinson Street.
Mm-hmm.
We now have four affordable units that used to have people living in them, paying affordable rents that are used as Airbnbs, and I see people rolling suitcases up and down the street. I want us to think about curbing the use of affordable units as Airbnbs where the owner doesn't live in the property.
Okay, hold on.
Okay,
now.
And that is the single most effective thing we can do, I think, to increase affordable housing or slow the decrease in the supply.
Hold on, because I did my homework. Mike, you sit on also the legal committee. Now, you tell me, if Steve is trying to spin me around and make me dizzy, or is this something that could possibly happen?
He's telling the truth straight up.
Okay.
All right. So can you explain it to me? Because explain it to me exactly how this goes. So we have all these Airbnbs. You saying, wait, who? Let's go further down the road. Who decides? Is it the Planning Commission that decides if you can have an Airbnb? Who decides that?
Nobody. Anybody Nobody. Has the absolute right to use their property under current law the way they want, as long
so
as
how
it's
can
used
we take
for
that
housing.
Right away?
Excuse
well,
me?
We so have, how do we take that right away?
Well, we have to pass legislation.
Right. We have the authority to pass a local law that specifies what the rules are. And then a planning commission might have to come into play for a given application. Right now, they don't have to.
Okay.
But if we create a local law that says this is how it needs to work within the limits of New York state law and federal and
so forth.
We'll write it up properly, and that'll be the rule that you have to go by.
And other cities have done
other
this.
Cities have dealt with
New
this.
York City has
New
done
York
it.
City has done
Woodstock
it.
Has done it.
So
we can do it.
How long? So Woodstock's done it. New York City done it. Did they do it yesterday? Did they do it last year?
New York City had some legislation, I think, passed a few years ago, and they
like
passed
what, five
something
no,
like that.
I think the Airbnb thing came into force middle of last year.
Well, that was that was step two, where they had stronger enforcement and penalties, so they put more teeth in it. But it doesn't matter. The point is it's been done. It's feasible. It's not something that's illegal or unconstitutional. And I would say of the Airbnbs that have registered, probably close to half of them are absentee landlords in multifamily buildings. And I define those as typically affordable units.
Okay.
And they're spreading everywhere rapidly.
Let me give you guys a clap because that is new information. I didn't know. Not only is that new information, that's awesome information. I wanna play devil's advocate. What's the return side of that? Let's say I'm a owner and I don't live in my property, and then their law says that I can't Airbnb. Do I have to make it affordable housing, or can I just sit there and let it sit there?
No, you can do something else with it. Let's say you owned a 4-unit building, you could make it all a single-family home. You could make it into 8 studio apartments.
Okay.
Suit yourself. But you couldn't do it on a, let's say, a nightly rental basis if we passed a law that says you couldn't do that.
Okay.
But if you wanted to do almost anything else that was an annual rent, or you want to sell the building, well, God bless. That's fine.
Okay.
And Airbnb, it's defined as a term of a lease that's less than 30 days. Can be one night, it could be 15 days, but it's less than 30 days.
Okay.
That's defined as an Airbnb or tourist housing or short-term housing. There are costs to it. There's always a cost to doing something.
Yeah.
You know, it'll cost revenue for the city and economic activity. It's a balancing test, but I see affordable housing disappearing rapidly. I see rents rising rapidly, and I walk.
You think?
I walk in the parts of town that are less economically advantaged, and that's the issue I hear about most. People can't afford to pay the rents, and I can't promise, nor anyone who's responsible could promise, we're going to turn it around. But we can do concrete things to help the situation. Some. And we should do it, and we should do it sooner rather than later, in my opinion.
So be an advocate for me, Mike. And you know, my alderman is coming to my door. He's knocking and say, hey, I'm running, you know, for Fifth Ward. I think I'm in the Fifth Ward now. I live in the Crosswinds.
Yep.
So I think I was in the Fourth Ward. I think they moved to the Fifth. So I'm running for Fifth Ward, alderman. Do I mention this whole thing to them? Because when I kind of, and Steve, you know, you've been to my house. I've kind of put the person that comes to my door to a little test. I ask them some questions, and I'll say some names that maybe they like. And I'm like, if you like this person, I don't like them. And I just want to see if they're going to, you know, politic me, or they're just going to be honest with me. So what do I say to my alderman, or what do I say to my supervisor to help with this possible law or what do I say, Mike?
Oh my.
Well, if
yeah,
if,
you both can answer, but I
yeah. Well, I, if yeah. Now you know that it's possible, and you're equipped to put into your group of questions something about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's at my door, what's your intention in terms of affordable housing? What's on your agenda?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know about and do you support
okay.
this particular idea?
Okay. Thank you, sir. Steve, you can go ahead and chime in.
Most politicians in the city say they're concerned about affordable housing and housing in general. But it's easy to say you're concerned. It's harder to take concrete, effective action that's possible to do something about.
You're right.
And there's other things. We've got some empty lots in the city, particularly around the fire station, that should be explored for affordable housing. We need to hire, as another top priority as to how we spend money, in addition to youth programs, a full-time planning person who can help organize getting grants.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about infrastructure and building more affordable housing, the city doesn't have that money. So we're talking about grants, and we need somebody to coordinate that process in an effective, coherent manner, and that includes things like the DRI. One reason the DRI was rushed and secret and so forth was because there wasn't any time, because it hadn't been worked on until the last minute, and we had about a month period to get it done. So that investment in a full-time planning person will more than pay for itself, because it'll generate more grant money for the city. So that's how the coordinated program of changing the zoning laws, restricting Airbnbs in a reasonable way, and having a more effective systemized approach to getting grant money, we can make concrete progress on something that we've made next to no progress on.
Thank you, Steve. Listen, I want to give you guys a couple minutes. I'll give you guys both 3 minutes to go ahead and do a plug on why our listeners should vote for you, and what you guys want to offer, and if you want to give out any information as far as websites or anything like that. Steve, I know you have a debate coming up, so you might want to do that, but I'm going to clock you. You know, because it's only fair. But Mike, do you want to go first, or you want Steve to go
first?
You're going to
clock us with your left hand or your right hand?
No, Mike. No violence. Nonviolence. All right, nonviolence.
Okay. I'm running, I think, because I've got skills as an attorney, as somebody that understands numbers and finance. I can work at the job full time. I'm a rather passionate, results-oriented person. I want to help empower each member of the council to achieve their goals, and I would reach out to them to do that and try to formulate plans of action and concrete steps to get it done, and I'd help them get it done. I'd help them write legislation, whatever. It's all about empowerment, and it's all about the word transparency. Stuff is done out in the open, including setting the budget and informing the community what the priorities are, helping to change the attitude in the city so we're not putting each other down and attacking each other, but we're all working as a team. One thing I don't like hearing about is blaming the executive branch for not getting something done by members of the council. We're one team. And the mayor and the council and people are willing to help should all be working as a team, dividing up the work to achieve what Hudson wants to achieve, about which I think there's largely consensus. So I think I have the temperament and the drive to do that. And it's not so much what I want as a leader, particularly as a common council president. Part of the job, one of the most important parts of the job, is helping to fashion compromises where everybody has a good feeling that the process has been fair and everybody's gotten some piece of the pie, everybody's been fairly heard, and we can arrive at an approach that everyone can buy into, even if they all didn't get everything they wanted, or even if they don't like the compromise. That's what we need, I think, in the city, and I'm committed to do that. And I think I have a track record of coming up with ideas and actually doing something about them, as in writing legislation. I rewrote the lodging tax that needed to be rewritten. I just volunteered to get it done. It's important that legislation be right because it involves
the movement of money around. 5 seconds.
And then on the revenue side, I'm working on sales tax and Hudson getting its fair share of that money, and okay, that could be a significant amount of money.
All right.
That's
why
I'm running.
I don't want to cut you off. I know you got a debate, and you said you got to be fair.
August
People got to get the right amount of time. I want to give Mike his time.
6 p.m.
August 30th, 6 p.m., where at?
At the elementary school in the auditorium, and it's stevedunforhudson.org and the Facebook page.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm running for First Ward Common Council, and I have a Facebook page, which you can find under O'Hara for First. The information on it is my background information, which anybody can read. But the relevant parts of it is that I've been involved in city government and local activism for quite a while now. I spent some time as the Commissioner of Public Works for the city, which equips me to know more about the guts of actually how the infrastructure of the city is put together and how it works, as well as the processes that the administration has to go through to hire and fire people, to do a budget, to figure out how we actually keep the place running, keep the wheels turning. And I'm dedicated to my job right now as alderman, the role I can play to put together local laws, resolutions, agreements that will do our part to make this machine work better for everybody. I think in the year and 8 months that I've been doing this, I've learned a lot about the council process, which I wasn't in before. So that fills in my understanding from the executive branch and the legislative branch to what are the pieces to this puzzle that we can adjust to make it work. Now, my determination to make it work filled in with a lot of knowledge about urban design, about economics, about environmental factors. This is part of my study, part of what I've come to know, and I think the combination of my knowledge about how the city works, my understanding of how the world works, can be put together in the service of the city. And I hope my constituents will turn out and vote for me on September 12th. That's the Democratic Party primary, which is coming up. And in our ward, the election will be held at St. Mary's School at the corner of 3rd and Allen Streets.
Mike, you good? I'm going to give you guys both the clap, man. You guys are great. The last thing I want to say to you guys is that this is an open platform. Either if you win, we want you back. If you don't win, we want you back. Because obviously you guys care about the city and you care about things going on in the city. So stop by anytime. We can talk. You know, it'd be better if you stopped by when you weren't running. Then we can really have a conversation. But I can't thank you guys enough for coming on and sharing with our listeners what you guys have to offer and being honest. That's very important. So I'm going to give you guys another clap, and thank you very much for coming. I'm not even going to take a break. I'm just going to say thank you very much for coming. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm going to try to make it to the debate, Steve. 18, yeah, Steve. Boy, he's good. Mike, Martin Luther? Wow. That was a big name drop right there, man. Boy, that was good. That was good.
I knew I was in trouble.
when he said that?
Political resume.
Oh, yeah. His resume. I mean, his resume is something. It is special.
All
Right. But talk the talk, and he talked it.
I McCarthy, shook Robert McGovern. Kennedy's hand 3 days before he was shot.
Oh man, don't shake my. You shake my hand, Steve. Be good, Steve. All right, 18. How you feeling, 18? What you think?
I just hope that you know, y'all do the best y'all can do to represent the community, and may the best man win.
Yeah, I think it's some women too running, so we got to make sure.
Oh, and the best woman, you know, we got to do it up.
Yeah. All right, guys.